So reading from chapter 12 of Canto 4, the chapter name entitled Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead. Verse number 17. Tasyam Vishuddha Karana Shivavar Vigahya. Badvasanam jitamarum manasadhrutakshah. Stule dadhara bhagavat pratirupaitat. Dhyayam stad avyavahito virasrujat samadhav. Tasyam Vishuddha Karanah Shivavar Vigahya. Tasyam Vishuddha Karanah Shivavar Vigahya. Badvasanam Jitamarum Manasa Hritakshah. Stule Dadhara Bhagavat Pratirupaitat.
Stule Dadhara.
Tad avyavahito vyasrajat samadhav. Tasyam vishuddha karanah shivavar vigahya.
Tasyam vishuddha karanah shivavar vigahya.
Badvasanam jitamarum manasa hritakshah. Stule dadhara bhagavat pratirupaitat.
Stule dadhara bhagavat pratirupaitat.
Dhyayam stad avyavahito vyasrajat samadhav.
Dhyayam stad avyavahito vyasrajat
samadhav. Tasyam.
Tasyam.
In Badrika Ashrama.
In Badrika Ashrama.
Vishuddha.
Vishuddha.
Purified. Karanah, his senses, Shiva, pure, Vaha, water, Vigahya, bathing in, Badva, having fixed, Asanam, sitting position, Jita, controlled, Marut, breathing process, Manasa, by the mind, Ahrita, withdrawn, Akshaha, his senses, Sthule, physical, Dadhara, he concentrated, Bhagavat Pratirupe, on the exact form of the Lord, Etat, the mind, Dhyayam, meditating upon, Tat, that, Avyavahitaha, without stopping, yes, Rajat, he entered Samadhav into trance. Translation. In Badrika Ashrama, Dhruva Maharaj's senses became completely purified because he bathed regularly in the crystal clear purified water. He fixed his sitting position and by yogic practice controlled the breathing process and the air of life. In this way his senses were completely withdrawn. Then he concentrated his mind on the Archa Vigraha form of the Lord, which is the exact replica of the Lord, and thus meditating upon him entered into complete trance. Translation with repetition. In Badrika Ashrama,
in Badrika Ashrama,
Dhruva Maharaj's senses became completely purified.
Dhruva Maharaj's senses became completely purified.
Because he bathed regularly in crystal clear.
Because he bathed regularly in crystal clear.
Purified water.
Purified water.
He fixed his sitting position.
He fixed his sitting position.
And by yogic practice.
And by yogic practice.
Controlled the breathing process.
Controlled the breathing process.
And the air of life.
And the air of life.
In this way his senses.
In this way his senses.
Were completely withdrawn.
Were completely withdrawn.
Then he concentrated his mind.
Then he concentrated his mind. mind
on the Archavigraha form of the Lord,
on the Archavigraha form of the Lord,
which is the exact replica of the Lord,
of the Lord,
and thus meditating upon him, entered into complete trance. Translate purport. Here is a description of the Ashtanga Yoga system to which Dhruva Maharaj was already accustomed. Ashtanga Yoga was never meant to be practiced in a fashionable city. Dhruva Maharaj went to Badrika Ashrama, and in a solitary place, alone, he practiced yoga. He concentrated his mind on the Archa Vigraha, the worshipable deity of the Lord, which exactly represents the Supreme Lord. And thus thinking constantly of that deity, he became absorbed in trance. Worship of the Archa Vigraha is not idol worship. The Archa Vigraha is an incarnation of the Lord in a form appreciable by a devotee. Therefore, devotees engage in the temple in the service of the Lord as Archa Vigraha, a form made of sthula, material objects such as stone, metal, wood, jewels or paint. All of these are called sthula or physical representations. Since the devotees follow the regulative principles of worship, even though the Lord is there in his physical form, he is non-different from his original spiritual form. Thus the devotee gets the benefit of achieving the ultimate goal of life, that is to say, becoming always absorbed in the thought of the Lord. This incessant thought of the Lord, as prescribed in the Bhagavad Gita, makes one the topmost yogi. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurunyam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamidiri Nashtaprayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naisti Tadarajastamo Bhava Kamalo Bhadayasti Chetayetairanavidam Sitam Satpe Prasidyati Evam Prasanna Manaso Bhagavat Bhakti Yogataha Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate Bhidyate Hridaya Granthi Schidyante Sarva Samshayaha Shriyante Chasya Karmani Trishtayivatma Nishwari Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktaranda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 So, in this verse, Dhruva Maharaj is mainly talking about how he practiced Ashtanga Yoga to realize the form within his heart. So, how this chapter began was, Dhruva Maharaj is an Acharya. Who is called an Acharya? One who shows with his own example. So why is Dhruva Maharaj an Acharya? In a very short duration of life, within six months, he had the darshan of the Lord. By his severe austerities, it was so intensely done that he attracted the attention of the Lord, and the Lord appeared. First he was meditating on the Lord within the heart, and suddenly the Lord disappeared. And he was completely bewildered, and when he saw right in front of him, the Lord was standing. And then so that's how very soon, within 6 months, he attained the darshan of the Lord. And not only attaining the darshan of the Lord, his desire was fulfilled. The main motto of doing all these austerities was to fulfill his material desire, which was to attain a position more higher than his great-grandfather, who was Lord Brahma. And he got this, he fulfilled his material desire by pleasing the Lord, and he attained the desire he was really wanted of achieving the position more higher than Lord Brahma. So the Lord himself says that to get this material desire fulfilled is impossible. To get a position more higher than Brahma is impossible, but the Lord was pleased by Dhruva Maharaj's austerities, and he gave him the benediction. Not only that, he gave a pole star, which will never be annihilated. Even when everything is annihilated, that part the planet remains as it is. And not only that, even while he is living, he will rule the world for 36,000 years and he will not become old. And again, at the very end, he will, even while ruling in the kingdom, he'll do great sacrifices and austerity, sacrifices and give lots of charities to Brahmanas. And in that way, he will perfect his life by satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is how he fulfilled his, he showed us an example as how one can do intense devotional service and attract the attention of the Lord. Although he approached the Lord with material desires, before he had the darshan of the Lord and the Lord touched the conch shell, he was like still not purified. But once the Lord touched the conch shell, he was completely transformed and he understood the conclusion of the Vedic conclusion. So that's the difference between before and after. Before the Lord touched the conch shell, he was not so much realized, but once the Lord touched the conch shell, complete, he was purified, he understood the Vedaishta sarve rahameva vedyo vedanta krit vedavideva chaham. The Lord says that by all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta and the knower of the Vedas. He understood the Vedic conclusion. And not only that, Dhruva Maharaj, he also showed us an example as to many times people think that we cannot approach the Lord when we have material desires. So we cannot approach. But Dhruva Maharaj is showing here example that how even having the material desires, still one can worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like the Lord does not deny that if you have material desires, you cannot come to me. The Lord doesn't say. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 3rd chapter, 10th verse, it says that Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udharadi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether you are one who has broader intelligence, whether he is full of material desires, or whether he has no desires, or whether he is desiring liberation, in all circumstances one can worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there is no bar. Like even Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that those who come to him even with material desires, still they are magnanimous. Udara sarva evaite jnani tvatmaiva mematam astita sahi yuktatma mamevan uttamam gatim. The Lord says that all the devotees who come to me are undoubtedly magnanimous souls because they have come to me. Still he is a Mahatma. He could have gone to some other demigod. But still the Lord says they are still Mahatma because they want to exchange that affection with the Lord. So they come to the Lord. So that's how the Lord is very pleased even though one comes for instead of going to other demigods, because even though people worship demigods, whatever they bestow are actually coming from the Lord himself. But they are doing avidhi purvakam. The Lord says in 9th chapter that even though the other demigods, they are giving whatever they are giving, actually everything is coming from me, but they are doing so in a wrong way. So the Lord is pleased even whether we have full of material desires or have no desires or desiring liberation. In all circumstances, one can approach the Lord. So this example, Dhruva Maharaj is also showing us how even with material desire, one can approach the Lord. But of course, Dhruva Maharaj was completely purified. Once the Lord touched the conch shell on his head, he was transformed into complete spiritual. And then at that time, he wanted to say some prayers to the Lord. With a humble mood, he wanted to say some prayers. But because he was inexperienced, he was a little boy, he could not say the prayers. But the Lord, understanding his this awkward position, the Lord touched the conch shell and gave him this mercy of he could able to recite wonderful prayers to the Lord. In one of the prayers, he says that, "Oh my Lord, people in general, they come to worship you for desiring some material sense gratification. So which is available in any form of life. You don't have to endeavor for it." Rishabhadev says in so many incarnations in the Srimad Bhagavatam, one need not endeavor to get this sense gratification in any form of life, it is easily, it can automatically get. So people come to you for the sense gratification of this material senses. But you are, but I am also one such person who is foolishly approached you to ask for this material sense gratification, which will perpetuate me in this material repeated cycle of birth and death. But you can award one some benediction so that one don't have to come to this material world to suffer this repeated cycle of birth and death. You can relieve one from the cycle of birth and death. But I was so foolish that I asked you something that will perpetuate me in the cycle of repeated birth and death. So that was his prayer. And you are like a desire tree. He also says in that verse that you are like a desire tree who can fulfill all the desires. But we like petty things. People ask for petty things, which is easily available. Like we don't have to endeavor. Even going to, he also says in the next verse in his same prayers that people they aspire to go to heavenly planets. After even once they go to heavenly planets, when they start to enjoy their credits of their piety and all the pious credits are exhausted, and again they come to this material world, so again they are stuck in the repeated cycle of birth and death. So even Brahmananda is like cannot be compared to the bliss enjoyed by the pure devotional service. So like that, he says how insignificant is the Brahmananda also. It is compared to the ocean of bliss enjoyed in the satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavati hritkarna svasayanakata tadjoshanatas apavargavartmani shraddharati bhakti anukramishyati. The glories of the Lord, the name, form, qualities and pastimes of the Lord are so glorious, and their complete ocean of bliss compared to that Brahmananda cannot be compared even to the drop. So like that, he says in his prayers, he was ashamed actually that of asking that I came to ask him for these things. And then this chapter, it begins like, we know that in the previous chapter, Swayambhu Manu comes to instruct Dhruva Maharaj. And then Dhruva Maharaj, being very, very angry because his brother Uttama was killed by the Yakshas. He was very angry. And then not only that, looking for his son, his mother Suruchi also went into forest, and she also got burned by forest fire, and she also died. And Dhruva Maharaj, because he was very angry that his brother was killed by the Yakshas, so he wanted to fight, and he went to Alakapuri and blew the conch shell, and all the Yakshas, they came seeing who has come into the Alakapuri to fight with them. And they also, there was a big fight between Dhruva Maharaj and Yakshas. And Dhruva Maharaj, of course, there was sometimes Dhruva Maharaj was losing and they were winning, and Yakshas were winning. Sometimes Yakshas were losing, Dhruva Maharaj. So there was thing was going on, and suddenly they put a magical feat and everything was coming out, and Dhruva Maharaj was a little bewildered. Of course, the sages said that you have to chant the mantras, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, take shelter of the Mahamantra. So all these things happened. However, Dhruva Maharaj finally, he won and he killed so many Yakshas. And then Swayambhu Manu came and told, what are you doing? This is not at all good. You know, you are killing these Yakshas just for the fault of, and you have to now give up your anger. Anger is very demoniac quality. Anger is not at all good. People who are endeavoring for pure devotional service, this anger is very detrimental. You should give up this anger. And he also told that just for the sake of killing one yaksha, kill the Uttama. For that you are killing so many yakshas. This indiscriminately killing so many yakshas who are completely faultless and sinless. You are killing the innocent people. So this is not at all approved by the Vedas, approved by the authorities. You should give up this. So he came and told him that, and also he told that, like animals, they'll be all slaughtered. So like that, you are killing the these yakshas. This is not good. So like this, Swayambhu Manu came and told Dhruva Maharaj, and hearing to the instructions of his grandfather, he gave up the anger. His anger subsided and he stopped killing the yakshas. And then the Yaksharaja, who is Kuvera, was very pleased that Dhruva Maharaj gave up this anger, and he said, "Oh, sinless son of Kshatriya, I am very pleased by the instructions of your grandfather. You have given up the enmity with the Yakshas, and which is very hard, difficult to give up this enmity. So you have given up that very. And also you are sinless because actually, guess what? You are not the killer of the Yakshas, nor Yakshas have killed your brother. Everything is happening by the ultimate sanction and ultimate cause of everything that is happening, the generation and annihilation, creation and annihilation, everything is happening by the eternal time. Time factor is causing everything to finish. So actually you are not at all fault. You are not at fault at all. You have neither killed the Yakshas, nor the Yakshas have killed your brother. So everything is happening by the eternal time, which is the which is one of the features of the Lord. So we have no control over everything. So thinking that I am this body and everybody's I and mine, all these are the cause of ignorance only, illusory energy, cause of the ignorance. So that is why one who thinks that I am this body, who is in the bodily concept, he has to repeatedly come to this material world to suffer birth and death. So that is why, then he also was very pleased because he knew that Dhruva Maharaj had performed great devotional service. He had performed pure devotional service to the Lord, and he asked him, "I would like to give some benediction to you. Please ask what you want, benedictions from me." So then Dhruva Maharaj told that, "Please give me the unflinching faith and also the remembrance of the Lord, which can only remove one, release from this samsara, material existence, coming repeatedly in this birth and cycle of birth and death. So please give me that unflinching faith unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also give me the remembrance, because that is the only way one can relieve from the ocean of this material existence." In the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 14th verse, the Lord says, "Daivihesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mamevaye prapadhyante mayametam tarantite." This material energy, this divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome. But one who surrenders unto me then can easily cross beyond it. So this is the benediction the Dhruva Maharaj asked. "Please give me the unflinching faith, and not only that, give me the remembrance, constant remembrance of the Lord. That is the what will relieve one from the repeated ocean of birth and death in this material world." Then after that, Yaksharaj Kuvera, he gave the benediction that Dhruva Maharaj wanted, and he departed. Then after that, Dhruva Maharaj performed great sacrifices and austerities, he gave lots of charities to the Brahmanas, and he Yagnarthat, the Lord says that Yagnarthat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha tadartham karma konteya mukta sanga samachara. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duty for his satisfaction. In that way, you will always remain free from bondage. So, Dhruva Maharaj was completely engaged in Yagnarthat Karmano Nyatra. He knew what is the Swartha Gati. So, he engaged himself in performing Yagnas, Yagna Dana Tapa Karma. He did all the Yagnas, Dana, he gave profuse so much charities, and he enjoyed while he lived, and he did all this very, very nice things when he lived on the, he ruled the kingdom for 36,000 years. And then he understood that this, he gave up the attachment to his palace, his queen, his everything, the palace, the opulence, everything he gave up, thinking that they are all temporary and will finish by the time. He understood that everything is temporary in this world, dukkhalayam ashashvatam, and he gave up everything and he went to Badrika Ashram. Because Badrika Ashrama, usually people who are very serious about performing devotional service, they usually go to secluded place. Even in the sixth canto, when we hear about Dakshas and Hariyaswas and Savalaswas, they went to a place called Narayana Saras. Because this place is very, very congenial, very, very suitable for people who want to purify their consciousness. Actually, why they went was Prajapati Daksha, he wanted them to marry and generate the procreation, procreate the world with the population. They went to purify their consciousness before having children, before marrying, they wanted to purify their consciousness. That's the reason they went to Narayana Saras, which is an ideal place to purify the consciousness. Similarly, Dhruva Maharaj here went to Badrika Ashram, because one cannot perform this Ashtanga Yoga in a fashionable city. In the purport, Prabhupada says, one cannot do this Ashtanga Yoga in a fashionable city, because it is not favorable. Krishna says all the six kinds of surrender, anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam, because the forests are in the mode of goodness, whereas cities are in the mode of passion. So one who is serious, they have to find a suitable atmosphere. Like the temple is very, very suitable atmosphere. We will be very soon hearing the good to perform devotional service in the temple. So Dhruva Maharaj went to Badrika Ashrama. There he purified by taking bath regular in the crystal clear purified water. And he fixed his sitting position, because in Ashtanga Yoga there are so many rules and regulations. Ashtanga, Ashta and Anga means what? Ashta means eight, Anga means limbs of bhakti. What is that? Ashtanga Yoga is, it begins with Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. So, and one thing is very, very important, to control the mind and senses is very, very important in any yoga practice. If one cannot control his mind and senses, the practice of yoga is only a show, waste of time. It's only a waste of time. So control of mind and senses is very, very important. So here Dhruva Maharaj, he controlled his mind and senses through breathing process. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, going to a secluded suchodeshe pratisthapya sthiramasanam atmanaha natyuchitam nati necham chailagni kushottaram tatraikagnam manah kritva yata chittendriya kriyaha upavishyasane yunjad yogamatma vishuddhaye. So what is that? Suchodeshe pratisthapya, one has to go to a secluded place, lay a kusha grass and sit on a deer skin. Why one has to sit on a deer skin? So that they don't attract the snakes. Because while doing samadhi, while doing meditation, it is very important to control the mind and senses and sit in a steady position, so that one cannot be worried, well, the snakes will come and bite. You know, that distraction should not be there. That is why one has to sit on a deer skin, which will keep the snakes away. So one has to sit on a deer skin and stare steady and sit in an erect position and stare steady at the tip of the nose, like bring the thing and at the stare at the tip of the nose. So all these things, lots of rules and regulations, very, very hard. That is why Arjuna rejected, saying that, oh Krishna, you are telling this very difficult yoga which is impossible for me. Chanchalam hi manah Krishna pramati bhalavadrudam tasyaham nigraham manye vayuriva dushkaram. So control this Ashtanga yoga process, control of mind and senses is very, very important. But guess what? It is highly impossible for me. Arjuna, 5000 years ago, when he was very favorably disposed to do that, he rejected. What to speak of today in the sage of Kali, where the minds are displayed and alpa visha sabya kalavasmin yuge jana manda samanda matayo manda bhagya hi upadrutaha. It's impossible to do in this age of Kali. However, Dhruva Maharaj, he went to a solitary place and then he purified with the fixed his sitting position by yogic practice, controlled the breathing process, because there's a very close connection between breathing and mind control. So this, through breathing process, he brought vasha, means he brought vasha means bringing the mind and center, mind and senses under control. Like in Ashtanga yoga process, yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara. By doing all this, withdrawal of the senses. He withdraw the senses. He fixed his sitting yogic process, control the breathing life air. In this way, his senses were completely withdrawn. Then he concentrated his mind on the Archa Vigraha form of the Lord, which is exact replica of the Lord, and thus meditating upon him, entered into complete trance. So now, in this age of Kali, actually Hare Krishna Mahamantra chanting itself is sufficient for God realization. It is also said, Kaler Dosha Nidhe Rajan Asti Hayeko Mahan Guna Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Raja. In Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, but there is one good quality. What is that? Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Raja. One can become free from the cycle of birth and death. But still, why there is need for Archa Vigraha from worshipping the deity form of the Lord? So what happened was, in the age of Satya Yuga, people were very, very spiritually very advanced. People were spiritually advanced because mode of goodness was very prominent. And people were very spiritually qualified, they were very advanced. But as the ages progressed, the material contamination, because of material contamination with the advances of the ages, disrespectful dealings among the devotees, among the sadhus like the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas came. Disrespectful dealings. As the Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga came, disrespectful dealings amongst the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas came. That is why the deity was introduced in the age of Treta Yuga. But actually more prominently it happened in Dwapara Yuga. Krite Adhyayato Vishnu Tretayam Yajato Makhai Dwapare Paricharyayam. In the age of Dwapara Yuga, temple deity worship was the recommended Yuga Dharma for the age of Treta Yuga and for the Yuga of Dwapara Yuga. So the deity was introduced in the age of Treta Yuga, but the more prominently it was, deity worship became prominent in Dwapara Yuga. So then, and in the Kali Yuga, what happened was, even deity worship was neglected. That is why there was need for inaugurating the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came specially to show the example that in Kali Yuga, deity worship will not be very powerful because people's qualities will deteriorate. So he came to show an example that actually when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he did not establish any, he did not open any temples or began any deity worship in any temples. He did not open any temples at all. But he came mainly to inaugurate the Sankirtan Yajna for the age of Kali, which is the only powerful method to remove the contamination of the age of Kali. So that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not install any temples. So he mainly came to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement. So again, Why is the deity worship needed in the age of Kali? Because it was Krishna's desire. It was Krishna's desire that we worship him. That's the reason the deity was introduced. Actually, because the Lord wanted us to worship him. Because what has happened is the cow, what is the essence of the cow? The milk, right? So what is the essence of the Upanishads? Bhagavad Gita. Sarvopanishado gavo dogdha gopalanandana partho vatsa sudhir bhokta dugdham gita amritam mahat. The essence of the Bhagavad Gita is the middle six chapters, which is that chapter 7 to 12. And among the middle six chapters, the essence of this middle six chapters is the ninth chapter, the most confidential knowledge. In that, the most confidential knowledge, the essence of this most confidential knowledge, in the last eight verses of the ninth chapter. Among the last eight verses of the ninth chapter, the most important is 34th chapter of the ninth chapter. The 34th verse of the 9th chapter, which is Manmanabhava Madbhakto Madhyajimam Namaskuru Mame Vaishyasi Yuktvaivam Atmanam Matparayanaha. This verse is so important that Krishna has repeated twice in Bhagavad Gita. Once in 9th chapter and once in 18th chapter. So what does Krishna mean in this verse? Manmanabhava Madbhakto. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. And then he said, become my devotee. And then he said, offer your obeisances unto me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. There is no doubt about this. There is no doubt about this. Four things we have to do. What is that? Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances unto me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. Krishna is guaranteeing this. Where is the doubt? Then Krishna is telling you, worship me. How can we worship Krishna? Arjuna could worship Krishna because Krishna was standing before him. But today we are there. How can we worship Krishna? If Shyam Sundar Krishna from Golok Vrindavan, he comes and stands in front of us, can we worship him? No. Why? Because Shyam Sundar Krishna has come from Golok Vrindavan, he is not, he is completely spiritual form. But we are also having spiritual form. But that is covered by material body, which is made up of matter, dead matter. So that is why we cannot worship the spiritual form of the Lord, Shyam Sundar form, who comes from the Golok Vrindavan here and stands in front of us. We cannot worship him. Why? Because he is completely spiritual form, but we are also spiritual form, have spiritual form, but we are covered by material body, which is made up of matter. The matter cannot worship the spiritual form. So matter should be worshipped with matter. So because the Lord wants us to worship him, he very mercifully appears in the form of his Archavigraha form, and then he comes into this material world made up of matter. So what is the difference now between the Lord? Of course, this is also stone. The Lord is also made up of stone, right? So what is this? This is paper, right? And what is this? Paper. This is also paper, right? But can I rip this? No. Why is that? Because this has value. This has become money. How it has become money? Australia. There's a picture of this person here. And in India it is written Reserve Bank of India stamp. Stamp is there, and the governor's name, the minister's name, all is there. Can I rip this paper? But what is the difference? This is also paper, this is also paper, right? So why can't I rip this one? This has value, like a purchasing power. Has this got purchasing power? Similarly, this is also stone. The deity is also made up of stone. What is the difference? The deity form, Archavigraha form, although made up of stone, the Lord enters the mind of the devotee and he tells how the stone should be carved in that according to Shastric way, carving should be done. And then the pure devotee of the Lord, he comes and puts, does prana pratishta, invites the Lord to come and reside in the deity form of the Lord. So that the Lord mercifully enters the deity form of the Lord and becomes non-different from the Lord. Lord, the original supreme personality of Godhead, the original. So the Lord has four, the Lord who is in the Golok Vrindavan, he has got para form. And then this para form expands into four quadruple expansions. That is Sankarsana, Aniruddha, Pradyumna and Vasudeva. They are Vyuha. Para form expands into quadruple and becomes these four expansions and they become Vyuha. And then Vibhava is the four, or the Lord comes and then he performs different pastimes in his different incarnations. That is Vibhava. And then Antaryami. Who is Antaryami? Antaryami is the super soul that is dwelling within our heart. But are we able to see any of these four forms? Para, Vyuha, Vibhava and Antaryami. Are we able to see any of these forms? We are not able to see any of these forms because they are all spiritual. So we cannot worship the spiritual form with this material body. So the Lord very mercifully appears in the form of matter, because matter can worship the matter and spirit can worship the spirit. If you want to worship the spiritual form of the Lord, then we have to become very serious in our devotional service, give up this material body and accept a spiritual body and worship with the spiritual body, the spiritual form of the Lord. So unless we get the spiritual form of the spiritual form, we cannot worship the spiritual form of the Lord, who is residing as in Golok Vrindavan as original Shyama Sundar. So that is why the Lord gives us opportunity to worship him in the form of a deity. And then there are different kinds of deities. What is that? Deities means deities are made up of different material elements. What is that? Shailyodari mahi lavya lepya lekhya cha saikati manomai mani mai pratishta ashta vidha smrita pratima ashta vidha smrita. Pratima means the deity appears in ashta vidha, in different, eight different material forms. What is that? Shaili. Shaili means the stone. Shaili means the stone. Darumai means wood. So stone means, we see so many deities made up of stone, right? Carved into with the stone. So that is called Shaili. Shaili means made up of stone. And then Darumai. Can you think of any deity which is made of wood? Lord Jagannath, made up of wood. Then Lauhi. Lauhi means metal. We see in India so many deities are made up of metal also. Like in Bangalore itself, in that Rajaji Nagar temple, big temple, the deities are made up of, it is called Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Radha Krishna Chandra, all these deities, that they are made up of also metal. So metal, they can be made up of metal. Shaikati means sand. And then Lepya, earth. And also cow dung. When you go to Govardhan, even in our farm also during Govardhan Puja, they used to do with the cow dung, the deity of Krishna on the earth like that. So even in Govardhan, when we go for Parikrama, we see that they make the deity, deity with the cow dung, and they put all the flowers and people circumambulate like that. So earth can be made up of earth. Then Lekhya means painting. With the painting also, the deity can be made, which is made in Mor Kutir in Barsana. Radha Man Bihari temple. So that is also done. Then Manimai, it can be made with jewels as well. And then Manomai, we all know the example in Nectar of Devotion. This Brahmana, he wanted to worship the Lord with all the paraphernalia, but because he didn't have all that, but he worshipped within his mind. He offered, he begged the Lord, offered everything, sweet rice. And he was so much in meditation that he put in his hand, his hand got burnt and he woke up from the meditation. So like that, we can worship the Lord with mano, mai, like with the, through meditation, we can worship this Brahmana. Of Pratisthanpura showed the example how one can worship the Lord through mind also. Mani, mai, lepya. So these are the different varieties of deities that one can made up of different material elements. And also, what are the benefits of worshipping a deity? So let us assume, so actually why we need to worship, what are the benefits of worshipping a deity? So first, when we worship the deity, it is for our purification of the material contamination. Because Kali Yuga, when we go outside and meet so many people outside who are so materialistic, we also get contaminated. That is why there is every chance of our becoming contaminated. So that is why when we worship the deity, we become purified and our habits become clean externally and internally. We become clean, our habits become clean, and we become purified. We get purification, internal and external purification. And being within the water and not getting wet, is it possible? It is not possible to become, not becoming wet when we are in the water. So similarly, when we are in the material world, among the materialistic association, we cannot become influenced by them. That is why this deity worship, not only in the temples, even in our house situation also, for grihasthas, there is a recommendation that if you live far away from temple, if you live near the temple, we have to take the deities as our worshipable deities and do the seva in the temple. Because in the temple also, they need lot of people to do the seva. If everybody install their own deities in the house and they want to worship in the house, who will do seva in the temple? Right? So that is why people who live near temple, near our temple, at least 100 families live, I think, they all should take advantage of worshipping the deity in the temple. So what is the difference between worshipping the deity in the temple and at home? It is very, in the deity worship course, we were taught that worshipping the deity in the temple is much, much more beneficial for us, were purifying for us than worshipping in the home. Of course, worshipping at home is also good, but in the temple it's more. Why? Because when we do garlands, when we, like today Mataji, Madhumandari Mataji has very beautifully decorated the deities. Radharani and Radha Vallabha, Gauranita, everybody looking very, very beautiful. So many people come and see the deities and they're getting purified. So beautiful. That is also preaching, isn't it? Preaching doesn't mean sitting on Vyasas and giving lecture only. Mataji is also preaching, like beautifully decorating the deities with so beautifully. That is also preaching. Some people are doing very nice garlands. The Lord is wearing, and like in Vrindavan especially, they make 2-3 garlands. They put 3 garlands on Radharani, Radha Shyam Sundar. They make flute garland. They make garland everywhere, like, you know, those flower garlands itself enhances so much beauty of the Lord. Of course, for the Lord and putting the jewelry, the beauty of the Lord increases. Actually, we wear the jewelry to look very beautiful, right? But when the Lord wears the jewelry gets beauty because the Lord is wearing. Because the Lord is making the jewelry beautiful. Whereas we wear beauty jewelry because we want to look beautiful. So the everything is preaching. Preaching doesn't, so making beautiful garlands and putting all the cleaning the temple, and everything is preaching. Everything is a meditation. We do paraphernalia service in the morning, like Prabhupada, Guru Puja, all these things. They are all also preaching only. because when people see all beautiful shining things in the temple, all the paraphernalia, that is also preaching. Everything is very clean. Cleaning the temple is preaching. Cleansing the courtyard of the temple is also preaching. Cooking very beautiful offering to the Lord is also preaching. Everything is deity worship. Everything is a meditation, trance, samadhi. When we are doing, we are meditating. Like when we are dressing the Lord, our meditation is how to put this jewelry so that they look so beautiful. Where to put, how to put. All these things is also meditation. Like here, Dhruva Maharaj, he concentrated his mind on the Archavigraha form of the Lord, which is exact replica of the Lord. Non-different. The deity is non-different from the Lord. So he is meditating and he entered completely into trance. Like that, the devotees, when we dress the Lord, we enter into trance. How to beauty complete? Because especially when you get into the altar, you don't think of anything else. Complete meditation happening. Beautiful. When we do the garlands, what combination, what color dress the Lord is going to wear? What combination shall I put? How if I put string the, it look beautiful. That is also meditation. Cleaning the temple room very nicely. Because the Lord is the center, everything becomes meditation on the Lord. Like once the class is over, the Prabhu cleans the temple. Because while cleaning, what is he thinking? This is the temple of the Lord. So I have to keep it very clean. Go on cleaning. Clean, clean. There was a competition between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the devotees when the Jagannath Puri, when they were cleaning. All the devotees, they were cleaning. They were one side and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inside. They were cleaning. Mandira Marjana Adishu. Ambarish Maharaj said, Savai Manaha Krishna Padaravindayor Vachamchi Vaikunta Gunanu Varanane Karo Harer Mandira Marjana Adishu Shrutim Chakarachita Satkatodaye Mukunda Lingalaya Darshane Drisho Tadbrutya Gatra Sparshenga Sangamam Tadbrutya Granam Saroja Saurabe Srimat Tulasit Rasanam Tadarpite. So like that, everything is a meditation. Ambarish Maharaj used all his senses in the service of the master of the senses. Everything is a meditation. Cleaning the temple room is a meditation. Doing everything, cooking prasadam is a meditation, because they want to offer to the Lord and purify the Lord's senses. Atmendriya Preeti Icha Dare Tare Balikama Krishnendriya Preeti Icha Dare Premanama. So in the temple, everything is a meditation. Like how Dhruva Maharaj went into meditation.